ministry of Lighthouse Christian Outreach Center. Our vision, bringing people into the full realization of their potential in God, and our mission, building a community of believers whose lifestyle positively influences change in the society. Welcome to Lighthouse. The Lighthouse, House 7, Plot 2/3, Kudrata Biola Way, Oregun, Ikeja, Lagos. For inquiries, please log on to www.lighthouseng.org.
Corinthians chapter 3, as we continue our thought on the ecclesia this morning, 1 Corinthians chapter 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. I came into the Chosen Bridge Church service this morning, and there was just one scripture that was displayed. So maybe you help me. Just came back at me now. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. Give it to us in the Amplified Translations, please. It says, for the word that God speaks is alive. In other words, is relevant to our day and our age, and is full of power. So when God speaks, his word brings power. Jesus said, the word that I speak, John 6:63, they are spirit and they are life. That's how we need to treat the word of God. So God speaks to us through mediums, his servants, through platform. You read the word, you hear the word, you see the word, because that's what you do, audiovisual. But you see, please recognize that when he speaks, that word is alive. It is full of power, making it active, creative, energizing, and effective. So when we receive that word, the word of God, we must receive it with that sense of eagerness that this word is alive in my day and in my time. This word is full of power. This word is active in my life. This word is operative. This word is energizing enough and effective. And the Bible says the efficacy of this word is sharper than any two-edged sword. I mean, two-edged sword means whichever way you swing it, it's alive, it's active. But the word of God is still sharper than two-edged sword, penetrating to the dividing line of the breath of life of soul, and then the immortal, the spirit, and of joints and marrow of the deepest part of our nature, exposing and sifting and analyzing and judging the very thoughts and purposes of the heart. In other words, when the word of God confronts you, no matter your prejudice, your bias, if you open yourself enough, it sorts it out for you. You are able to make a good sense of judgment concerning life. So please, let's treat the word of God. I don't know how we can run or people run without the word of God. I don't know. But the word of God is active in our day. It is full of energy. It's something that we can apply to every situation of our life. If there is anywhere you're struggling today, I believe this is just what someone needs to hear. Run the concordance or Google when you get back home. Hell. God's word on marriage, it comes at you. God's word on finances is on Google. You see the scriptures listed. So take time to take in the word. God's word on healing, take them in. And by the time you do it, you meditate upon the word of God, there is a rejoicing that comes to your soul. And there is a revelation that builds up on the inside of you. Even though the situation may still look the same, but hey, things have changed. When revelation enters your heart, life has changed. It has taken a new turn. It says, so shall my word that has come out of my mouth, it shall not return unto me void. It shall accomplish the purpose. So the moment revelation enters into your heart, That's what Isaiah described in Isaiah 48. Grass begins to wither. If you cut a grass, you cut a tree, sometimes it takes about 3-4 days before you can see the significance different. But when God's word is applied to any area of our life, and then God's word sifts things out for us, the grass wither, the flower fades, but God's word will stand sure in our lives forever. Praise the Lord. I believe that's just God's message for someone this morning. So 1 Corinthians chapter 3, I read from verse 9. He said, "For we are God's fellow workers. You are God's field. You are God's building." That's the way God referred to us as the church. But he said, "According to the grace of God, which was given to me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation and another builds on it. But let each one take heed how he builds on it. For no other foundation can anyone lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ." I want you to please take note of that verse 11, because that is my emphasis this morning. There is no other foundation anyone can lay except that which has been laid, which is Jesus Christ. He said, "But if anyone will build on this foundation, whether it's with gold, with silver, with precious stone, with wood, with hay, with straw," he said, "let each one's work become clear, for the day will declare it, because it will be revealed by fire, and the fire will test each one's work of what sort it is. For there is no other foundation." We started this series on explaining what the church is. And one of the foundational scriptures that we had was that Jesus making that declaration to Peter and the disciples in Matthew 16, verse 18, "I will build my church." So we have established that the church, which is the ground and the pillar of truth, belongs to the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the one who paid with his life to be able to give us the new covenant which backed the church. So a foundation is a substructure upon which a building rests. The church and the Christian life and the Christian experience rests on Christ Jesus and his finished work of redemption. I just want to remind you of that. And we are called the body of Christ. But the basis is that it is on the foundation which the head of the church has laid. And there is no other foundation that can be laid. There's no foundation of sickness. There's no foundation, whether it's sickness, whether it's sin, whether it's poverty, or whatever it is that is ravaging humanity. Jesus paid the price for the church. Today, I'll be talking about the things that belong to us. There are certain things that belong to us as the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. And you know, even in the natural thing, they say to us that ignorance is not an excuse in the law. But a lot of the time, believers don't take advantage of what belongs to them. And so, I mean, things belong to us. If we don't know we have access to it, one of our patriarchs of faith shared the story of someone who died in penury in the United States. Apparently, I mean, those who lived on the, he lost his house, so he was practically living on the street. But we all, I mean, that story had it that one of those days the man was just picking things from the trash bin, saw a belt, and then he just picked the belt. You know, the way people, Loma, help us to do. So he picked the belt, and he just started using the belt. But day in day, because he spent so many years alive after while using that belt, he did not realize, it was until he died, that they, when they saw that belt and cut it open, Not less as at that time. Not less than, I think, about $1,500. This man was begging around the streets. Sometimes in the cold of the night, he would not have anything to eat. Yet that belt was right there on his waist. So sometimes, believers in Christ, we are like that. Jesus paid the price. Sometimes people think there is still something to do to help God to free them. No. The subject of sin, the subject of poverty, the subject of sickness, that's what the devil used to ravage humanity. And what is being given to the church, Jesus paid the ultimate price. So Paul was writing, there is no other foundation that can be laid. There is no other foundation. I mean, let me just introduce something at this point. Let's pick the subject of deliverance. You know, believers, if you don't know, you will spend all your Christian experience looking for deliverance. But the Bible says he has delivered us. Can I ask you a question this morning, Brother Donald? Are you married? No, answer me. Are you trying to get married? How do you know you are married? You just know. That's the thing. If you are trying to get married at this stage of life and ministry, it's a pity. So it's the same thing. We have been delivered, but people look for deliverance. It took our sicknesses, but people look for healing. Whereas what we need to do is to appropriate what he has done for us. It's like if you get to a bank and you have money in your account, all you just have to do, or ATM, just slot it in. There is something that has been put in credit for you. Please, Christianity, that's where I'm ending my message today. It's not a religion. It's a personal relationship with our Maker. And you come into this loving relationship the day. So it means if you don't know, then you have to get saved today. The day you come and accepted Jesus as your Savior, and then you ask him to be your Lord, every blessing that Jesus died for on the cross, his death, his burial, his resurrection, his ascension, has been credited to your account. So, Paul says there is no other foundation. There are many things we do in the church today, in the church world, and it's just something that we do out of ignorance. Somebody just sees somebody, and then we copy it. So this seminar is what is working in the city of Lagos. Everybody is printing that poster for that seminar. Okay, they are delivering firstborn of people in Lagos. So everybody just do that. No, we must come to that point. That loving relationship that we have with God, we must understand it so that, like the Bible says, we may know the things that have been freely given to us. Another one, just a quick thought before I go to my message. Are you righteous? How do you know you are righteous? How do you know? So it means you are born that way. Are you a man?
Absolutely, yes.
How do you know you are a man? You have the future of a man and you are born that way. That's the way you also get to be righteous. It's a gift. You may be struggling to feel so, but it's not by feeling. But as you daily yield your life to God, appropriating the things that have been appropriated for you in Christ Jesus, then the light begins to show. If I'm trying to get deliverance, all my Christian experience, it means I'm not saved. That's the basic truth, but we don't want to hear that. Jesus is not going back to the cross. Having spoiled. When you spoil something, you spoil it, Abby. If I break this TV, can I put it back? No. If I spoil this TV, I break the screen. Can I put the exact TV back? No. Because when I'm spoiling, I won't just unscrew. I use sledgehammer. He spoiled principalities and power, and then he made a public show of them. That's not the end. He said, triumphing over them in it. So, Christianity is not Sunday to Sunday experience. It's a daily, total experience. It's a life of unending possibility. So, you get to understand, you get yourself acquainted with him. His word becomes the lamp to your feet and the light to your path. And day unto day, you walk with him. You walk with him. You see him in the fullness of his glory. Your countenance changed. The things that you used to do them no more. The things that used to hold you down, he holds you down no more. The things that used to press you in the night, you begin to press them. And that's what Paul was writing later. He said, we will no longer be children, tossed by every wind of doctrine. We grow into the measure of that stature of Christ. So no other foundation. No other foundation. It's a complete deliverance. Let's read Ephesians chapter 2, verses 19 to 21. Ephesians 2, 19 to 21. He said, now therefore, you are no longer strangers and foreigners. But what? Fellow, even if you think you are still struggling this morning, you are a fellow citizen. With the saints, not with the sinners. With the saints. With the saints. You know, if I ask how many saints are here this morning, I know you won't respond. But for some people, the idea of a saint is a knighthood. A special event. No, the day you gave your heart to Christ, you are no more a sinner, you are a saint. Hey, you are not a saint of the devil, you are a saint of God. He said, and saints and members. And members. You know, as I'm talking this morning, it's spiritual warfare. So if your mind can't contain it, that's why you may still struggle with so many things. It's a complete deliverance. Your child doesn't doubt whether you are the parent. Your child doesn't wait until the day you do DNA tests for him or her to be convinced that you are the parent. You know, some of these things, the way we do it, we say heaven help those who help themselves. There's no way that it's a thing in scripture. Some of the local parlance, they say, Olorun o ko ajo. What they mean by ajo is trying to help themselves, a little bit of abalis here and there, a little bit of charm here and there. Let me protect my... But because African tradition is rooted in that, people believe that you must, for them to feel that God is in a place, for example, you must give them something. So something must be on their body, something must be on their pocket. They must drink something to feel that they are anointed. No. Even before you know, he said, he watches over you. He said, for he has said. So if you feel abandoned, it's contrary to his word. He said, he has said, he will never leave you nor forsake you. He said, so that we may boldly say, I believe God for illumination this morning. I believe God to give come to a place of understanding. Whatever it is that has held you and I bound, you free yourself. You loose yourself from that hole. So, he said, we are no more strangers. We are no more foreigners. We don't need visas. But fellow citizens with the saints and the member of the household of God. Look at 2021. And we've been built up on the foundation of the apostles and the prophet and Jesus Christ himself. Being the chief cornerstone. So there may be many cornerstones, but the chief one. And for those in the construction industry, when you say something is the chief cornerstone, it means that's what holds the building together. It's like the modern day IT world. That is the server. That is the hub. Eh? The main one. Every other thing is subsidiary. They take their life from that main thing. Jesus Christ is the cornerstone, the chief cornerstone. That's why the songwriter, they were able to have an insight into it. He said, my hope is built on nothing else except Jesus Christ and his righteousness. I will not trust this sweetest frame, this flesh. It can fail. But I wholly lean, because that's the chief cornerstone. So the revelation is, you have it. When he says, I will build my church, he said, flesh and blood has not revealed it. So the revelation of who Christ is, the person of Christ, the church must have a good hold of it. The revelation of the foundation of our Christian faith, it hinges on the death, the burial, the resurrection, and then the ascension. And here we have many sons have been brought into glory. You know, sometimes if we don't get this revelation, a lot of people think, because we've watched African Magic too much, so we think that it's a contest between God, your soul. Hey, it's a contest between God and the devil. And maybe God is trying to show supremacy or power, and then the devil is trying to pull you. No. The Bible says that God dwells in light. So there is no demon. He dwells in light. And if you and I are light in the world, then it means there is no oppression that can hold us down anymore. See, it's not boasting, no. If our boast is in the Lord. But what I'm saying to you this morning, we must grow up. In fact, sometimes we get into Christian meeting, we are more conscious of the presence of demons than the presence of God. And you can allow Aye to share gun. But see, Proverbs 26:2. Can we go there? Proverbs 26:2. These are Old Testament people, but they simply understand who this God is in the dimension that they did. He said, like a fleeting sparrow, like a flying swallow, so a curse without a cause. One translation says, curses can't rest upon you unless you permit it. Let me tell you something this morning, and I meant it with all my heart. I came from a household of idol worshippers. So I'm not saying all those things don't exist. I came from a household that when people die in my village, they go and consult the God in my family. It's like a familiar spirit. So I made my research very well. So I know how African setting operates. And I know that when they don't want you to know the truth, there is only one thing that they put as a caveat, the fear of death. People who join court will tell you, they said the day you betray, it is death. People who join armed robbery gang, they will tell you, the day you disclose the secret. But I read in my Bible, it said, those who through the fear of death, Jesus delivered them. He delivered them. So, for me, there's no other thing. This one, oh, Shisha. It works. The word works. The word works. We must learn to press in. Whatever it is, whatever name is called, generational curses, I have generational blessings. Hey! Hey! When power showed up in Egypt, he swallowed the rod. And we don't have evidence of those rods anymore. I'm saying this morning by the Spirit of God. Come to that place that you recognize who you are in Christ Jesus. Not who Ayo Daniel tells you that Christ Jesus is. Come to that place I know who I am. I've said it before, and I'm going to say it again. They beating me with charm before. So you don't say that, oh, maybe I don't understand what. You know, sometimes when you're talking, they say, oh, my family, wow. If you see how people have struggled through life, make up your mind. That's what I'm saying this morning. Apply this to your life. And say, devil, on me. And people who are coming after me, no more. You know what they do with herbalists? They appease gods. That's what herbalists do. And that's why people, when they say, oh, an herbalist gave them healing, check them out 1 year from now. 2 years from now, a more dangerous disease showed up in that person's body because there is no solution. Even the one Ugbeikude died. So you know that's the foolishness of man. Somebody is giving me protection that I should not die. He himself will die. There is no. And sometimes, do you know, sometimes people do charm to make money. And the herbalist died before the charm started to work. No other foundation, please, brothers. No other. It doesn't matter how it's packaged. No other. Whether it's packaged as prayer meeting, no other foundation. Whether it's packaged as seed offering or seed clinical, no other foundation. No other. No other. Except that which has been laid. And the one who laid it is the chief cornerstone himself. He said, all power. Ha, that's what he said. In heaven and heart has been given unto me. He said, go therefore in my name. So the revelation of the person of Christ, the foundation of our Christian faith, which is Christ's death, burial, resurrection, that's the basis of this faith. And what do we need to do? One, identification. You need to identify yourself with it. Matthew 1:23. He said, his name shall be called Emmanuel. He's God with us. I'm not looking for him outside. Identify yourself with it. Because that's the truth of Jesus. Hebrews 2:9. Identify yourself. He said, but we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that by the grace of God. And check the religious leader who died for every man. Check all the major religion. They have issues with how their sins will be forgiven. Check every religion. It's all about dousing their conscience. So they do good works, they give offering, they do good works, they say, whether, you know, the way we pray. In fact, some people pray, in other words, we practice sin as we are drinking water. No, I don't practice sin like that. I don't practice sins like that. I don't make a practice of it. That's not my nature. Sometimes the prayer is, there is no way you can walk that your head will not shake. So we may have sin of omission and commission. No! If you sin, you deliberately want to sin. James 1 talks about it. We are drawn by our own lust. He said, let no man, when he's tempted, think that he's tempted from the Lord. You know, as us human beings, we can blame every other person except us. So identification, it's very crucial in this faith walk. A lot of people are detached. They don't know what the church is all about, so they are detached. So if you are detached, you can't gain that life. You can't bear fruits. Identification, it's very crucial. The second one, substitution. Jesus has been made substitute for us, for our sin, for our sickness, for our poverty. Substitution. 2 Corinthians 5:21, he who knew no sin has been made sin for us. Somebody will say, oh, I'm a baddie. I've done all kinds of things you can imagine. For his mercies endures forever. That's the end of story. Shall we continue in sin that grace? That's not what I'm preaching. He said, as far as your sin is from the east to the west, he said, he has also drawn it, he's covered it. Substitution. Titus 3:5. If I can't finish, I'll continue next week. Titus 3:5. He said, not by works of righteousness, which we have done. You see, when we identify with this life, righteousness oozes out of us. Don't mistake. But it is not, you know, some people are waiting, it's a prayer point. Lord, make me righteous. You are wasting your time. It's just like, Joe, you are praying, Lord, make me a man. You're already a man. Lord, let me be married. You're already married. Not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to his mercies. He saved us. And then there is a continuous work. He said it's called the washing of regeneration and renewing by the Spirit. That's what identification will help us achieve. The next one is burial. It's burial. I mean, Jesus Christ, you must identification with us. He's substituted for our sin. Then his burial, Colossians 2:12. Colossians 2:12. We are buried with him. It's total immersion, baptism. We are buried with him, in which you also were raised with him through faith. So you have to respond to it in the working of God, not in the working of men. Who raised him from the dead? So what do we do in water baptism? PG, let me use you. I'm just literally showing you. So PG doesn't have a relationship with Jesus. So he responds, or he has responded to the gospel message. He has identified that Jesus came, lived, he died to give him life. And then he was buried. He was buried. He resurrected. And then he went back to heaven. And then that was many, many years ago, century ago. So, PG responds to that message. And he believes in his heart that Jesus has done that. And then he confesses him. Because that's what we do when we say we are leading people to Christ, isn't it? As his Lord. And on that same day, we decided to do water baptism for PG, which is a public identification that we knew PG to be this, but we knew him no more after the flesh. Did you get it? The PG we are looking out is a new man in Christ. Not a new man from Ondo or from wherever. You know, sometimes in this new life, people will say, no, for my place. We know they do that. Which place? Because the Bible says your citizenship is in heaven. So this is a new man in Christ. So public identification, you know what happens? So we say, who will help me? Because this man don't chop. I never chop today. Who will help me? Sadiq will help me. So what do we do at water baptism? We say, upon the profession of your faith, we now baptize you today in the name of God the Father, in the name, because it's a complete work, in the name of Jesus the Son, and in the power of the Holy Spirit. So this is the pool. So we dip PG into the water. Complete with his suit and money and everything. Because sometimes people, I mean, there was that story. They wanted to baptize someone. Eh? So the preacher was waiting. So he took out his money, his wristwatch,
and wanted to put it. And the preacher said, bring everything back, put it in your pocket so that your money can be baptized. So when PG goes like that, he's identifying with the death, burial. And so when he's lifted up, Romans 6 says, resurrection. And is what will happen is what? Newness of life. Newness. Newness of life. So, demons, when they come, they see light around him. But PG has a responsibility to renew his mind, to see himself the way God sees him, to see himself as a victorious one, to see himself as an overcomer, to see himself. You know, sometimes people pray, they say, this kind of prayer. It's just like during the youth service, a group of couple served in River State and they were going for Rural Rugged NYC. So they were, you know, the way we do, we sing. So they got on top of water. And you know, they've been singing, Jesus power, super power. So they got a point, the boat stopped. And then they're saying, Jesus power. So the leader said, Mami, water power. Everybody said, If you know, Abby. So we identify with his burial. And then the next one, we identify with his resurrection. This is what makes our faith. And if we are ignorant, the devil knows. The devil has been here over 6,000 years. That's why he's called the subtle one. He can wayo you. He can pick the truth and say to you, just like he did for Jesus himself, as God said. And if you are not standing, you know, like that deliverance service, the demon slapped the first brother. The brother, what's that saying? Slapped the second brother. You know what's that saying? And the same question. The first question was, where are you standing? He said, I'm standing on my feet. Whoops. Where are you standing? The second one. I'm standing on my feet. Whoops. So one brother just came out. Said, where are you standing? He said, I'm not standing. I am seated with Christ in heavenly places, far above principalities and power. So I command you now, in the name of Jesus, out! What's the difference? Understanding. Knowledge. Being filled with the knowledge of his will. That's what Paul says we should be praying for every day. You know, we need to all take responsibility for the happenings in our lives. You know, at this stage, in the curriculum of life, I'm blaming my auntie has been responsible for my misfortune. They should cane me. I have the word of God. Even if it's my auntie, the Bible says when a man's way pleases God, he makes his enemy to be at peace with him. My auntie may be, I don't have an eye to do that. I'm just using that as what people say. And you know, we have all this theory. A woman that gave birth to you, carried you for 9 months, sent you to school, is now a witch. No. Some of the things we also believe, they said, I mean, some, you know, people come up with all kinds of doctrine. Said the reason why that pregnancy does stay, because each time you see your mother-in-law and she hugged you, the pregnancy comes down. Who says? Even if the woman is evil, darkness hugging light. If the light knows that it's the light, if you switch on this light now, you switch on this light, and we say, let there be light, and the person just who understands that is controlled by a switch, because that's what Revelation does, switch it on, do we begin to say, brethren, let us begin to pray that darkness will appear or disappear? No, we don't. But sometimes we do that. I've never seen, no matter how pitch the darkness, even the little touch of light gives illumination, gives direction. We don't collide with things. So whatever it is in any area of our lives, introduce light. Darkness disappears. It's the principle of God. There was chaos, Abi, in the beginning, or the beginning before the beginning. But God had the beginning before the beginning. So in the beginning, when there was chaos, it was very easy for him to say what he saw in the beginning of the beginning. Do you understand it? Am I confusing you? So it's not the beginning of Genesis 1. That's the beginning. God existed. He said from everlasting to everlasting is God. So he has been in the beginning before the beginning. Begin, thinking, begin, beginning. If you know, you know also. If you know, you know. If you don't know, let me tell you. One president of an African country, he was drunk, and they gave him a speech. So in the speech to read, there was the word beginning. So in the beginning, 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 beginning. Huh? Just like somebody that you also know. In the streaming of power, the power, 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 the power. Transmission, transmission. So his resurrection. His resurrection. Not just his burial, his resurrection. In Ephesians chapter 1, verses 19 and 20. Ephesians chapter 1, verses 19 and 20. He says, what is the exceeding greatness of his power? And not everybody, but he said, towards us who believe. So the question is that, do you believe? Do you believe the gospel? Or do you believe the Bible is one? You know, some of us, we are still confused about our faith. Some of us still believe there are many umbrellas that you can hide under if the rain of life is falling. No, there's only one umbrella. That's all right. Everybody knows the God that they are serving. And when the push comes to shore, they know the God who answers prayer. I've been in life situations like that. Whether you wear turban or not, at such situation, everybody say, Jesus. Because there is a name that is above every other name. And you have to know this. You have to know this, and you know it for yourself. Because life is full of crises. Life is not perfect. The world is broken. But in the days of adversity, what separates men from boys is the strength of God that they carry. He said, according to the working of this mighty power. Please, let's read. Which walk he walked in Christ when he raised him from the dead. So Christ is not in the grave. Christ is not on the cross round your neck. That's not the emblem of protection and safety. If you wear a cross, But that's the truth. That's the truth. It's just like when people have newborn babe. They open to Psalm 91 and put it under the pillow. It doesn't work anything. Don't deceive yourself. It doesn't work anything. It doesn't work anything. The word in your heart is what works. And if it's in your heart, if it's truly in your heart, you will speak it out when adversity hits. He said, he raised him from the dead. No, it's a complete work. It's the devil who does things haphazardly. God completes his work. He said, and seated him to a place. It was like a restored place of his authority and power. Have you seen kings standing up to make justice? No. Kings, they sit and they make decrees. And kings don't shout, they don't use microphone. So sometimes what they do is that they have subject. So he speaks to the subject, tell them, And that one says, Obanika Sofui, Kabia Osi. And when he finished making the declaration, everybody in that room say, Kabia Osi. End of story. If you argue with king, you will stay long on your knees. Because you can't stand and be arguing with the king also. So we must come to that state. All this payment must stop. Because people have made martyrs of the gospel. People fast for them. People pray for them. People pour gamaliel on their head. They lay hands, they lay body, they lay legs. The whole thing is bald-headed now. No. When will you start enjoying your Christian life? It's a life of victory. It's a life of dominion. It's a life of power. So ascension is another thing we must get ourselves acquainted with. Hebrews 9:24. Ascension is ascension. Is ascension. Hebrews 9:24. 9:24, please. It says, for Christ has not entered the holy place made with hands, which are copies of the true, but into heaven itself, and now appear in the presence of God for us. Verse 25. He said, not that he should offer himself often, as the high priest enters the most holy place every year with blood of another, he then would have had to suffer often. You need to understand that. Since the foundation of the world, but now, once, at the end of the ages, he has appeared to put away sin. Not that he's going to put away sin. He has put it away. It's signed, sealed, and delivered. And many sons have, everyone who confesses it, you can walk in that revelation. You can live that life by the sacrifice of himself. And the last area that I want to talk about that you should identify yourself with is his coming back. So everything doesn't begin and end here. Acts chapter 1, verse 11. Acts chapter 1. He's coming back. He's coming back. He said, who also said, men of Galilee, why do you stand gazing up into heaven? Why do you stand hopeless? Why do you stand as if everything has ended? You know, in recent years, I think Christians are beginning to understand it. When people pass, they now say transition into glory. Or they, what are the other things? Call into glory. But before, it used to be, there are one word that's obituary. Obituary in you. But he said, this same Jesus, it's not another one, no. So forget all this, say, I am Jesus of this, I am Jesus of that. I went to heaven, I saw one Jesus. He's not black, he's not green, he's not Caucasian. Hey, this same Jesus, the one who came here, who was taken up from you into heaven, he said, will so come in like manner as you saw him go into heaven. Umbo, he's coming back. And Revelation describing, every eyes we see. You know, some of the physical happening should also begin to tell us, like the COVID. Have you ever imagined that we will park planes, we will park ship, and they won't operate, planes won't operate, waters from brown will turn blue again? We experienced it last year. So how much more this remarkable event that God himself is the one orchestrating it. Even Jesus himself said, the time that he's coming back here is in the hand of the Father. Can I read to you again in closing? 2 Peter 3:4. 2 Peter 3, 4, and then verse 9. 2 Peter 3, 4. He's coming back. So many people are saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. Have you heard that lately on the social media? Yeah, it's there every day. But verse 9 says, what? Can we read together? 1, 2, 3, go. Matthew 24:14, as I close, I want to join it with that. So is the purpose of evangelism. That's why Jesus has not come back. If you want to speed his coming, we need to do something. Please, 1, 2, 3, go. That's it. As we go into this week, please, let's live in the consciousness of that. I'll continue the message. Maybe what belongs to us today? Can I quickly read it out for you? Number one, salvation. I will expand it next week. Salvation. People can be saved today. And that's why we are his ambassador. Secondly, deliverance. We have been delivered. Colossians 1:13. We are not going to be delivered. If we are waiting to be delivered, then Christ being on the cross, his resurrection is useless. Healing belongs to us today. That's the third thing. Isaiah 53:4-5. It was a prophecy. Jesus lived in the reality. Matthew 8:17. And then in 1 Peter 2:24, it says, by whose stripes ye were healed. So it's past tense. And if we were healed, then we are healed. Then today I am healed. It's not that God is just scratching his head. All we need to do is to appropriate these things. It didn't belong to people who don't even have the faith. But salvation belongs to us. Deliverance belongs to us. Healing belongs to us. Number four, prosperity, peace of mind, wealth belongs to us. It belongs to us. Number five, the name of Jesus belongs to us. The name of Jesus. The name of Jesus. God has highly given him a name. He had that name. And at the mention of that name, you know, in those days when we started exorcism, we'd be asking demons questions. How many of you? Where are you from? And you know, because it's a lying spirit, the devil lies. He said, we are from Korika Basin. We ask our brethren, where is Korika Basin? Just because we read it in context, that demon responds to Jesus, that we are legion, we are many. So it's not, the church has the name of Jesus. And he said, in my name. And he didn't say, negotiate with the devil. He said, in my name, cast them out. In my name. He said, in that day, you have asked nothing. But in this day that we hear, he said, ask that your joy may be full. Don't ask to consume on your own loss. So the name of Jesus belongs to us. Number six, power. John 1:12. As many as received him, to them gave he what? Power to become. Power to become. We assume the status of our sonship in him. Number seven, the Holy Spirit belongs to us. You know that in other places people don't do the name of Jesus, they don't do the Holy Spirit. It belongs to us. And for the believer, it lives on the inside of you. We are the temple. So the church, in closing, is not a religious body. It's not Christianity is not a religion. It is a relationship between a father and his children. We belong to God. The church is Christ's possession, and we have that advantage. Acts 20:28 said, therefore, take heed to yourselves.
and to all the flock, among which the Holy Ghost or Holy Spirit has made you overseers. So that's our responsibility, to shepherd the church of God, where I want to point your attention to, which he purchased. I didn't die for you, and I can't die for you, because there is no death I want to die now that can nullify the foundation that has been laid. No. No. But he purchased us with his own blood. It's not blood transfusion, no. It's nature. Our nature changed. It's not, we are not refurbished. You know, sometimes when people have, life has used them, they say, just go and get born again. No. We are brand new creation. Old life is completely gone. New has begun. And we must live in the consciousness of it. Can a Christian be possessed by the devil or demons? No. Because a Christian is a new creation in Christ Jesus. He's a spirit being alive to God. He possesses a soul and he dwells in a body. But can a Christian be obsessed? Yes. If the mind of the Christian is not renewed, the things he used to do, he can still be doing them. That's why Paul wrote Romans 12:2 in the Message. He said, let me tell you why you are here. No, that's Matthew 5. He said, I compel you, I beg you. Romans 12:2 in the Message. Can we read it together? He said, do not, 12:2 in the Message translation. He said, don't become so well adjusted to your mindset. That's what the word culture means. That you fit into it without even thinking. Said, instead, fix your attention on God. You will be changed from the inside out. Said, readily recognize what he wants from you and quickly respond to it. He said, unlike the mindset around you. Aye, Nshewo. Unlike the mindset around you, always dragging you down to the level of immaturity. But hey, when you focus your attention on God, when you cooperate with the inside out change, he said, God brings the best out of you, well formed maturity. And it's a life to be seen by hell. I will end with this, please. Your own Christianity, if it's not changing your day-to-day behavior, get born again. If you are not dropping off things, get born again. That's the truth. It's hard. If it's truly this gospel, this is the power of God unto salvation. The word salvation is the word zozo. It means wholeness. It means peace of mind. It means deliverance in its entirety. It means complete. You know what the word repentance means in Yoruba? Ironu pinwada. It means something that has the capacity to change your manner of life. It will affect your day-to-day manner in intra and interpersonal relationship. It shows it in your manner of speech. Some people are rude. Hey, there is word about the use of tongues. Some people are not cultured. Hey, there are words. I've mentioned it over and over.
If you want to understand etiquette, you don't even have to go to the finishing school. Just read one chapter of Proverbs every day. You will know how to deal wisely in the affairs of this world. Just one chapter every day. And then embrace it. Allow the Holy Spirit to make cultural adjustment, behavioral change. You know, we do all these things and then people go to therapy, but they relapse. The real behavioral change is in the Word of God. It has the capacity to change us. Please, this week, pay close attention to the Word. Let it be. You know, I've started hearing, leave Bible alone. Don't leave Bible alone, no. If you don't want to be Cain, if your own punishment, you know, sometimes when people say this thing, what does that mean? They are putting the cane that life will beat you with. They are soaking it inside kerosene. Don't leave Bible. Don't leave prayer. Don't leave meditation in the world. When life hits, everybody knows their level. You can't take the world out of your life. Then what's the essence of being a believer? I pray that the blessing of God will continually rest upon us. I pray that this week, our eyes of understanding will be flooded with His light. We will continue to understand the hope of our calling in Him. Christ will continually dwell in our hearts by faith. We are strengthened with might in our inner man. Thank you, Heavenly Father, in Jesus' precious name.
This message is brought to you by Lighthouse Christian Outreach Center. The Lighthouse, House 7, Plot 2/3, Kudrata Biola Way, Oregon, Ikeja, Lagos. For inquiries, please log on to www.lighthouseng.org. For more,